Hello and welcome to the second episode of The Power Brief, our series on load shedding. My name is Azala Lawan, a fund manager at Coronation.
Good day, I'm Mara Langana, head of fixed interest research at Coronation.
So in our first episode, we discussed why we haven't experienced load shedding in the last few weeks and why we expect about 1.5 stages of load shedding on average for the rest of the year. So today we'll discuss our prospects for load shedding for the next 2 to 3 years. We'll start with the coal-fired power stations. So Mara, if you could please sketch the picture for us in terms of what this capacity is, specifically the old coal, and what will be decommissioned and the new capacity coming online from Medupi and Kusile.
Thanks, Azala. So I think, as you correctly stated, it's important when speaking about the coal fleet to distinguish between the old coal plants and the new coal plants being Medupi and Kusile. Now, the old coal fleet was generally accepted that had been severely under-maintained for quite a number of years. And that culminated in breakdowns hitting about 38% of the fleet in May last year when we were experiencing a stage 6 load shedding, and it really was quite dire. What National Treasury did to try and help the situation was post the budget, when they mentioned that they were going to inject around 250 billion rand into Eskom, they asked for an audit of the old coal power stations. They hired a German consortium to do that called VGBE, and they subsequently published a report that was relatively scathing of the maintenance program in the state of the old coal power plants. Now, on the back of this, we have seen some response from Eskom to try and get the fleet into a better shape. We have seen breakdowns reduce on the back of this as well. Currently, they're probably sitting around 30% of the fleet. But again, it's difficult to say conclusively how much the improvement has been when you consider all the new plants that have come online. I mean, this is something we touched on in the previous episode. You know, we've had a few new units come online that obviously changes the mix. So it's a little bit early to say if the maintenance program is bearing fruit. What we have heard in the last week is that Eskom plans to delay decommissioning of the old coal power plants, which I think is significant. They're really trying to keep the capacity on as long as possible. But it's important to remember that older plant just operates less efficiently. So even if we keep these on, I mean, we can expect a general deterioration in the old coal fleet just because of the age of the plant. But I think the key message is, do we see energy availability going back to Eskom's target 70%? I think that would be extremely ambitious to believe that. So while the old coal fleet carries on running, we expect breakdowns to still be quite significant. Now, that brings us on to the new plant, Medupi and Kusile. You know, mathematically, Medupi and Kusile should have saved us. It was about 9,600 megawatts of power that was supposed to come online, replace a lot of the old coal power plant, but unfortunately, it was just plagued with so many flaws. I mean, there were design flaws to start off with. These are very complex plants. And then there was just poor operation from the side of Eskom. I mean, that's what caused the explosion at Unit 4 of Medupi. It's what caused the duct collapse at Kusile, which simultaneously took out 3 units. So while we are still waiting for another unit of Kusile to come online, we're waiting on Medupi Unit 4 to come back online, it's difficult to say that these plants will ever operate at their designed capacity, both due to, as I've mentioned, the design flaws and the operational issues. But the positive is that when they do come online, it is obviously very good for supply within our system.
And Mauro, during the first episode of the Power Brief, we spoke about how wind saved us during the winter of 2023, and that solar is now contributing in excess of 5,000 megawatts of energy. So certainly renewables have been or become a game changer. Just talk to us about the role that they can increasingly play to ensure that load shedding finally comes to an end.
Yeah, it's true. Renewables have allowed private sector to participate in generation to replace Eskom's role as sort of the primary generator of the country, and they've been able to do this a lot more efficiently and cost effectively. Now, possibly one of the greatest developments which we've had in our energy history was when President Ramaphosa lifted the embedded generation cap. It allowed private generators to build as much renewable energy as they wanted to and connect that into the grid, whereas before we had fairly meaningless restrictions, which didn't make a lot of sense. So in essence, I think we expect renewables to continue to support the electricity generation landscape. Based on our projections, we think about 2 to 2,500 megawatts of private renewable projects will be coming online each year from now going forward. But I think, yeah, that's the good news. The bad news is that renewables are intermittent by nature. So the wind doesn't always blow, the sun doesn't always shine. And it's generally accepted that you can bring on as many renewables as you want, but if you don't support those with technologies such as battery and gas, you do eventually hit a limit in what they can contribute to the systems.
Right. So let's switch gears a little bit and talk about nuclear energy. There's certainly some question marks around the long-term viability of Coburg. Please talk us through this, and also if you could allay fears around the use of nuclear energy.
So nuclear has been one of the most reliable and consistent forms of energy that we've had in our fleet. Coburg units have operated very well. They are audited by international regulators in nuclear energy. So I think, you know, nuclear energy and safety, we can put that one to bed. I mean, there's nothing to suggest that Coburg operates in an unsafe manner. Now, in terms of extending the life of Coburg, Eskom is currently underway with that. The Coburg units have reached the end of their initial design life. Certain upgrades need to happen in order for the regulator to extend their license to operate beyond the next year. And Eskom's in a little bit of a race against the clock to do this. They need to get both units upgraded. There's a technicality that could possibly allow them to extend the deadline for one of the units. But the risk is that if they do not complete these modifications to the liking of the regulator, that both units are taken offline. Now, Coburg in itself, relative to the rest of the fleet, it's not a massive amount of energy, but nuclear energy is baseload energy. So, you know, it can operate pretty much 24 hours a day around the clock. And you know, to lose that, it would hurt at the margin. So I think it's important that everyone focus on Coburg to try and get those licenses extended.
Right. And so as we talk about various types of energy and how they can impact the grid, what about transmission capacity? Or rather, perhaps we should say the lack thereof. Experts have warned that we may not be able to feed in all this new generation capacity into the transmission grid because the grid capacity is full. What does this mean for us?
Well, that's absolutely true. We do have a transmission problem. I mean, to bring all the capacity which we will require in the future online will mean huge amounts of transmission investment, you know, from power lines to substations, really across all elements of transmission infrastructure. Now, some of the numbers that Eskom has been estimating for that run into, you know, the hundreds of billions of rand. So it's not going to be a cheap exercise either. Now, ultimately, there's no way around this. I mean, we have to spend the money to develop our transmission infrastructure. But what's important to note is that this is an international issue. And there's no country that we've looked at internationally that is not experiencing transmission problems. It seems that the whole world focused on generation at the peril of transmission. And there's a huge catch-up being played internationally. So there's huge demand for transmission components, but actually not enough supply. So everyone's going to be waiting a long time to have this. Now, the solution is that in the interim, there are cheats, if I may call it, that could be used to bring on additional supply without having the, you know, required infrastructure in place. Eskom can, you know, force new renewable projects to have battery capacity when they come online so that they don't actually have to feed into the grid at the same time that they're producing energy. There are actually certain provinces in the country where renewables can still connect. The catch is that these provinces don't have the same quality of resource as the Western Cape, Northern Cape, Eastern Cape, which is where all the renewable projects want to be. the end result of this is that while we can use these, you know, cheats to bring on these extra projects, what it really means is that when you are not producing at your most optimum, then there's a cost implication. So likely, you know, nobody should expect electricity costs to go back to sort of these inflationary type increases. I would expect them to, be well above inflation for the foreseeable future.
Sure, that's not a nice reality to consider, Mauro. But tell us, when you summarize everything, where exactly does this leave us and how long will we still have to endure load shedding?
I wish it was a precise science, but based on our best research, we think load shedding will remain an issue, you know, albeit on lower stages until the end of next year at least. So that's the end of 2025. At this point, there should be, you know, considerably more supply that comes online, both from Eskom and from the private sector. Even if we see a little bit of a pickup in demand, that should support it. But ultimately, I think beyond that horizon, you know, while the system looks balanced, we can't really sleep comfortably at night until we get the supporting technologies for renewables to come online. And again, I think Eskom started the process on a number of these. Government is certainly supporting that. But we need the generation fleet to be properly balanced to really feel comfortable that we've eliminated load shedding forever. And by properly balanced, what I mean is sufficient base load and renewable technologies.
An encouraging note to say that we will see significantly reduced load shedding in the next, say, 2 years. However, some caution as well in terms of that generation capacity and also being able to be transmitted effectively or cost effectively into the grid. So something also to consider. So thank you very much, Mauro. I think this has been an insightful discussion. I'd like to thank our listeners as well. I hope you found this as informative as I did. And please stay tuned for our upcoming podcast, where we'll be sharing much more of our investment insights.
Thank you.